boy, it's another shiny, brand new episode of The Cultured Guitarist. That was possibly my lamest intro ever.
Agreed.
But I still have a lamer to go through.
I believe it.
My name is All My Circuits Al. And with me, as ever, is Can't Stop, Won't Stop Casper. You liked the quarter-pointed Casper.
That was great.
Yeah,
man.
That was your favorite one yet, I think.
Absolutely.
And joining us all the way from Nashville, Tennessee, from Big Ear Pedals, we have great-looking Grant Wilson. Mm. How you doing, Grant?
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
It's the hair, isn't it?
And he's got kind eyes.
Got great hair and a, you know, beautiful features.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what either of you look like, but I'm sure you're both beautiful as well.
I'm especially beautiful. Casper's a strong mediocre.
you once called us beefcakes in the basement. So if that helps.
It's a good band name.
Yeah, it's a good band name. That's like a fishbone type band, like funk metal fusion reggae. Beefcakes in the basement. Yeah. I don't know. I'm spitballing here.
Could be just a weird horror movie too.
Yeah.
Like they're chained up. Like there's a weird old lady in upstairs and they're her personal beefcakes in the basement. I don't know.
Oh boy.
That got dark.
Okay. Well, we didn't prepare.
I hate horror movies, by the way. I hate horror movies.
I can't watch them.
I can't either.
I don't like the...
It took me 3 attempts to get through The Woman in Black.
I like plot. I like story. And most horrors are not story-focused. There's exceptions. There's some good horror movies out there. And I've enjoyed, like, 28 Days Later. I really enjoy.
Never seen it.
But a lot of them are just gore porn, and I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm literally watching. Karen and I have been watching The Wonder Years on whatever it's on, Hulu, I think, because so that's really about awesome. That's about what I can handle. You know, that's about as much.
Oh man,
I love it.
That's great.
I haven't seen The Wonder Years before. Winnie is a math genius. I know that. Winnie from The Wonder Years, The girl that Fred Savage's character has a crush on. She's got like her doctorate in mathematics, and she's like published several books on it.
Crazy.
Like, yeah, she's like a leading expert in mathematics. Like, crazy.
Dang. Wow. Yeah.
Brains and looks.
This is really kicking
like
off.
Just like great looking Grant or whatever my name is. I forget.
Yeah.
What was it?
He can't remember.
It's great looking.
There you go. All right.
Grant
yeah.
Wilson. Yeah. I even just double checked it.
You wrote it down.
I did. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We use the nicknames throughout the episode. That's
okay. Well,
I mean, you can if you want.
Yeah, it's yours, man. It's a gift.
It's your show, buddy.
It's mine from here on out. This is I'm changing my name on my I'm going to like to the whatever. However you do that, I've never done. Like you go to the state, whatever you. It's legal. It's on my ID now.
You should do that. You deserve it, buddy. You've earned it by being that good looking.
Thank you.
All right. Well,
thank you so much.
Let's kick it off with the usual what's been up this week, music and or guitar related. You want to start it off, Casper?
No.
No? Okay.
I'm kidding. I'll go.
Good job.
It's fine.
Dying on radio.
So this week has been more pedal circuit learning and stuff. I'm quickly realizing just how inept I really am. At it.
I've been trying to tell you.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, buddy. You're so nice. But I have breadboarded something that kind of works and it's fun.
So nice.
Yeah. And that's what I've been doing. I had to take it apart 5 or 6 or 8 times before I could get rid of this awful, horrid noise it was making.
And we may have overcooked it.
I might have. Yeah, we
like
might have.
Minutes ago.
It definitely did make a. Yeah.
What is it? What did you make?
It's just an op amp drive with soft clipping.
Nice.
Yeah. Just simple. Just trying to learn what all this stuff means.
How long have you been diving into this hobby now?
A few months.
Not even 3 months, you think?
Yeah, not even. Maybe a few months.
Very new. Just a baby.
Yeah.
Just a baby.
Just a wee babe. But I realize now that you have to bias the power and stuff. Like you have to, it's really, there's more to it than just like, I'm going to plug this into this and make it do that.
Yeah. See, I'm a bit of an orangutan. Yeah. That's why I don't.
There's some math involved and it's like, oh, okay. Okay. So now it's all making more sense, and which is good. I actually watched a video where a guy laid out these huge big equations, and at the beginning I'm like, I should just stop and sell all this stuff. I don't even like, there's way too many VBI CIB equation like variable stuff. But then when you break it down, you put all the math into it, the actual values and numbers, it all makes sense. It's just a lot more math than I was originally anticipating. But you can actually still just kind of take things out and plug things in, like capacitors and resistors values and stuff like that, and it changes what it does. So you can kind of do it by feel too a little bit.
So just to directly quote you, not directly, but just to interpretively quote you, changing stuff changes stuff.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay.
That was very interpretive.
Yeah.
But I see where you
are. I mean, it's true. Yeah. It's true.
So, yeah, and it's, you know, some of the funny things that I found, like without enough resistance, the op amp and or say a transistor will just stop making sound very abruptly and very harshly, make a not noise, and doesn't sound good. But it's fun. I'm having a lot of fun.
I'm stoked. Nice. You're having fun.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very, very stoked for you.
Yeah. What about you, Grant? What have you been up to this week?
Okay, music and or guitar.
I realize
right now.
I realize like you're probably not kinda, at a whole bunch of anything.
Yeah, I'm like, is there anything that I'm doing so that is not this past week has been insane, and I've basically been, I would say the lightest day that I worked was like 12 hours this week, and I'm so desperately trying to get caught up right now, and this is the closest I've been in like 2 years. So I at the start of this week, I maybe had a little more than 100 pedals to build to get caught up, and now I'm looking at 24 PCBs I have to put in the enclosures, and I have 24 more that I have to finish populating and wire and then put in enclosures. So I'm at 48, so I'm halfway basically, and I'll be caught up by like Tuesday, and I haven't been caught up. We have been doing with our Albi pedal pre-orders, I'm sorry if I'm rambling, because not pre-orders, but we just had it on so that with a wait time, because I'm one person building right now. We, since you know COVID whatever, we just don't have anybody else helping us, and I can only do so much in a day. And so basically I've been putting myself in like overdrive the last week, 'cause I'm just like trying to get caught up, and then we're going to just move our whole model to doing batches. So that's really a boring answer. I apologize. It's all pedal. It's been consuming my life, is that I'm like, you know, as well as doing a million and one other things that we're doing, planning a couple pedals and all this other nonsense I can't talk about, but just the physical laboring of building these things the past week has been my whole life. So that's, you know, that's my answer. No guitar playing, no fun, you know, other than I like work, you know what I mean? But no, nothing cool. Nothing. I haven't done anything cool or got any new pedals or anything like that.
I appreciate it. I think it's cool.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Well, this week for me.
Oh, Al, what have you been up to this week?
Oh, my gosh. Just once. Can we do this smoothly? Just one time?
You know what? Last week was flawless.
Was it?
You didn't even notice.
I didn't?
No.
Oh, man. Feels like every week you hang me up to dry. It
transitioned beautifully. Oh. We had great nicknames.
I threw you guys off with my long, rambling, boring answer.
That was nowhere near the longest. No.
You're good, man.
You're awesome.
It's, I'd say a good 40% of what we do on the show is just Casper and I throwing each other under the bus. it's high entertainment value for us anyway. Anyway, back to me. this week I have been, what have I been doing? I got a pedal this week. Seth from Night Owl Industries shipped me one of his Edison preamps as just kind of a lovely gift because I lost a bunch of stuff in the fire at my parents' place. So
sorry to hear that.
Oh, thanks, man. It was, I mean, it's kind of on me. when I moved out, when I got married, I left a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
Because I'd been, when I went full-time touring on the road, I didn't want, you know, I maintained an apartment for a while, and then my mom convinced me that was stupid to be paying rent in a place I wasn't really living in. And so she said, just stay here when you're not on the road. And so I moved home with my parents.
Yeah, but you were on the road like 280 days a year or something dumb.
And so when I got married and I moved down here, I left a lot of my stuff at my parents' place. And then it burned down, as our listeners know, burned down about a month ago.
About a month ago, yeah.
And so I lost a bunch of stuff. And, dang. You know, obviously it was stuff that I wasn't using all the time, but it was still really nice of Seth to send a preamp pedal to me, and I really appreciate that. It's one of the coolest things Night Owl Industries makes, I think. Mm-hmm. It was, I can tell from the aesthetic design, it was from his first generation of them, which is
really cool.
Really extra cool, yeah, because he sold out of those forever ago, which means he probably sent me his personal one.
That's
my guess anyway. But, yeah, so I got that, and I'm looking forward to – I haven't been able to sit down and play it yet because I'm still amp hunting for the third month in a row here.
Oh, and you had a Mark 250 Katana on the hook too, didn't you?
I've had a couple of amps, like, slip through the fingers, really good deals, and it just didn't work out for whatever reason. So I'm getting close to a snapping point here or I'm just going to end up going down to the retail shop and just, like, slapping a bunch more money than I want to spend on something.
Well,
you know, that happens.
Yeah. I mean, if if you pay me what I paid for that, my Katana 50 version 2, I'll go and get the 100 watt one that I want.
Oh, well. So if I pay you retail price for your amp,
I didn't pay retail for that.
Oh, we'll talk more after.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. I need to get an amp because I've got this pedal that I really want to play, and I've got other pedals that I really want to get my grubby little mitts on and play, like an Albi from our friend here. I got to get one of these days. Not that I'm going to be doing that anytime soon either. But
he's doing the pre-order batches right now, and then he's moving to a batch model.
Yeah, no,
so you'll have to.
Yeah,
no, I'm going to be on that.
Yeah, well, then it'll be easier. Well, hopefully. Easier for you to get one and just get it right away because, you know, I don't like making people wait, and I don't like that a lot of people, I'm not complaining. It's just a thing that happens, you know, and I get that, but that's why I'm just changing what we're doing because it's just like, it can be a bummer for them, especially if they don't read that there is a lead time and then it takes a while and then they get it like, what the hell took 4 weeks, and it said it was going to be 6 weeks, and I even sent it 2 weeks early, but they're still bummed out because they never read.
No, Steve Demidash with the T120s at Demidash Effects,
there, he's crazy.
That dude's been toiling under the sun of a year-long wait list and stuff, and he's also moving to the batch kind of model, and I think it just makes more sense for a lot of guys.
Yeah, I want people to be able to buy it, and then it ships out the next day, and they feel excited, you know?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and if the batch is sold out, nobody has that expectation of, like, I'm going to get it in 4 weeks or whatever. Like, it's sold out.
Yeah, you just can't buy it right now, and then we'll build more, and then you can buy them again. But it'll also be good for the mental health of everyone here, Karen and myself.
Yeah, I was going to say the mental health of you, because I can't imagine the stifling pressure that's got to be to have hundreds of pedals on back order and having to catch them up. Like, I wouldn't want to put myself through that either.
Yeah. Sometimes people will write really mean emails, and Karen is the one that fields all that stuff. And so I don't have to deal with it as much. She'll tell me when they're particularly rough, but sometimes people write really mean emails and she'll reply back like, you know, there's a lead time. And then
do you want us to have a talk to them? for you guys.
Yeah, but the thing is these people, then they never write back and they never go, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't even realize that. Like every now and again there'll be one, but like the meanest people, they always just go silent then. And it's just like, oh, so you were loud and aggressive until you found out you were, you know. And then and it's just like, why did that even have to happen? Like we're, you know, we're two people making guitar pedals. Guitar pedals are fun, you know?
Yeah.
No need to get crusty.
Yeah. Well, people can be
crusty. Not to bring down the mood, you know.
No, man, that's like that's a reality of it though, right? Like
I want to give you both a hug.
That's totally a reality.
Well, it is. It's and these are like, you know, I mean, handmade for the most part. All of our pedals are handmade except in every way, except Albie does have some surface mount parts that are made by a machine or placed on it by a machine rather. But it still has a bunch of through hole parts as well. And I hand solder the FE1s and I hand assemble the pedal and have to, you know, everyone is tested and played by me. So, I mean, there's several human steps involved in every one of our pedals. And that's like a thing that people don't seem to like know, understand either, that if you send a message on Instagram or whatever, that's like, I'm also going to reply to that. And that's going to be, you know, that's time out of the day that I'm spending, you know, doing one piece of the, you know, of the giant thing that is,
I mean,
you know,
I want to say like maybe part of that's the growing pains of transitioning from only getting pedals from companies like Boss or DOD were predominantly huge brands. And now we're in this industry of like the indie builders outnumber the big boys, like 100 to 1.
There's a lot of us.
And you know, that really changes how people interact with the companies and how companies interact with the people. So I want to say it might be some of that learning curve for that. But I honestly just think that sometimes people are just cranky. Yeah.
and honestly, I'm just, you know, I'm talking about like 1% of the people, the other, you know, almost everybody is awesome. You know, the majority of everybody there are, but it's just, those people are the loudest ones, you know, how it always is. Yeah. And so, I mean, the overwhelming majority of people have been awesome and you know, are really fun and enjoy. They just love pedals and that's why they buy pedals, you know, like, it's their toys, you know, like we don't need pedals. Love pedals. We like them. You know?
Whoa there, Grant. Let's
well, I'm saying we don't need anything. We don't, we need to eat, right? We need to eat. We need to, you know, have some sort of shelter. We need, you know what I'm saying? That's what I mean.
Like,
pedals
are food for my
soul. Like, don't, oh man, Stephanie's going to listen to this and she's going to hear.
But I know there are people.
Guitar pedals. Damn it.
I know there are people though. I know there are people that will like be like, you know what? I really want this pedal. I'll just eat Dollar Menu for a week. Like that's a thing. People will do that obviously because having cool toys is, you know, we respect that. And you know, today, whatever, like, so it is more important maybe than food.
Well, Well, let's switch gears here. So I don't really know, and you've probably shared this before on your website or Instagram, or I'm sure it's out there somewhere, but I haven't delved into it. And so I'm going to be selfish and just ask you to delve into it. But like, how did you get into this? How did you, like, I know you were used to be located in, you know, it was, you were
in Kentucky in the middle.
Kentucky. Well, you were big ear in NYC for a while, and then
yes,
you know, now you're
for several years
in Nashville and stuff. Like, what's the origin story behind the brand? How'd you get to be where you are?
So we started in New York in the Lower East Side. Karen and I had a small studio apartment on the corner of Houston and Eldridge, and it was quite a busy little corner. There was all kinds of commotion and there was a bar underneath us that there would, you'd be noise out on the street till like 5 or 6 a.m. It was just a chaotic time in life. And I was in a band. That's what took me to New York from Pennsylvania. And after the band, and see, I was the drummer, but I had to sit closest to the amps, I guess. So, you know, I heard everything first. It really had to, sound good to me, or else it wasn't. There's another one. It has to sound good or it's not good. but you know, I loved gear, and I've played guitar my whole life too, but I loved amps and pedals and guitars and basses and drums and everything. And my band actually used all of my gear for the, like, I think towards the end, our guitar player and singer did get his own guitar, but up for the first, you know, for 75% of that project, they used my amps, my guitars, my basses, my pedals. I would build the pedal boards. And I was always, when we'd be on tour, I was always getting pedals at, you know, stopping at every pawn shop I could, music store, whatever, experimenting, like, hey, try this, you know, try this delay, try this fuzz pedal, blah, 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 whatever. So I just was, you know, had the bug. And that band, you know, like as a lot of bands do, things just started getting crazy. And I decided that I wanted to break that band up. Which is just a weird way of putting, like, we broke up, but we had to go through a lot of, like, steps to do that. So I kind of didn't know what the heck I was going to do, for a year. And I thought about building, I thought about making, like, custom drums, but I was in a studio apartment in, the Lower East Side. And that just wouldn't be reasonable, because when I had to do woodworking projects, I would use my sink like a sawhorse, and I would saw into the sink and then wash the sawdust down the drain. And that's kind of ridiculous. So,
that's not good for plumbing.
Yeah. So I,
your poor super.
I was going to say, yeah, don't. Yeah.
There weren't a lot of, I mean, I only did like three projects ever, but like, and they were small things, but I knew I couldn't like start making real drums in the kitchen in the apartment. So, I had this, so, you know, the whole time I'm buying pedals and collecting things. And this is a studio apartment, mind you, in New York. So it's a very, very small studio apartment, and every surface is full of pedals, and I'm, constantly going on Craigslist scores and whatever. And I got this pedal. This guy was selling this pedal for like, man, like $20. Cause it wasn't anything special, but it was still cool. And it's kind of funny that like our beginnings have this even involved, but it was one of those old Behringer pedals that's in a metal housing that looks like the Electro-Harmonix enclosures. I think it was called like the Vintage Tube Overdrive or something. There's like, I don't know. There's a delay. Gosh,
I remember that one. Yeah.
It's a massive, massive pedal that, it has, you know, it has a tube that's not really, you know, in play. As far as I know, I can't imagine it is because of the power supply. Basically it was a horrible looking pedal, but it didn't sound terrible. And I got it for $20. So I rode my bike to the guy's house and bought this thing, and I brought it home, and it was just ugly. You know, it had like a big V on it, and it's like a Behringer pedal. And I didn't really want this Behringer pedal, but again, it was a $20, like, but I had to go buy it. My weirdo guitar pedal addicted brain would not let me pass that by. I gave Karen, I asked her if she would, draw, like do a graphic on it with a Sharpie. And so I took what's it called? Scotch-Brite. Is that the, like the, yeah, you know what I'm talking about? The course.
Abrasive.
So I
just steel wool.
Yeah. So I just took a Scotch-Brite pad and a little water or whatever. And like scrubbed off the print on top. Cause I had a really thick, like cream colored, like powder coat or paint. And that didn't come off. Just the print came off. And so I just gave her this like blank cream pedal and a Sharpie. And she at first was kind of like, oh, I don't want to mess it up. And she worked in fashion for 15 years, in New York City, and is a very talented artist. And I was like, no, you can't mess this up, because it was a Behringer pedal and it was ugly and it's fine. Like, just, you know, so she took a Sharpie and started drawing on it and made this little scene, with a rabbit, like pulling, like cranking these gears, and the rabbit kind of has this mean kind of, not mean, but he's a little saucy. He's got an attitude. And I looked at it.
Saucy Rabbit sounds like a good band name too.
It is. It's our band, that we're starting after this episode. But, I looked at this thing and I just like was filled with like joy. I was like, this was a pedal that I didn't really care that much about. This was not that special to me. And now it is special. It is beautiful. And I loved it. And I was just like, and I looked at Karen and I was like, we're going to start a guitar pedal company.
Nice.
So that, I mean, I didn't know anything about, like, I mean, I knew about pedals and playing them, you know, from the user perspective, but didn't know anything about how to make guitar pedals. So that was a whole nother thing that had to be figured out. It wasn't until we moved to Brooklyn until we actually had our first pedal. So maybe like a year and a half later. And that was through, you know, I hired people. I didn't build the pedals for Big Ear for the first few years. So it's kind of a whole other story.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was literally just a,
so where did Big Ear come from? Like, where's the name come from?
Oh, well, so Big Ear, I'm sorry. I guess I should. So Big Ear was the bunny. I looked at this bunny on this pedal and I thought Big Ear NYC. And then as soon as I said that we're going to make a pedal company, I went to a tablet and I wrote that Big Ear NYC. And then that, what I wrote became our logo. And then, basically for a solid year, I was just working on trying to come up with like a visual or like a look, you know, for the pedals, that something that was different or unique or fun. I had ideas that had colors and, you know, cartoony looking things and all kinds of different looks. And then what we ended up with was our big, you know, just let the letters kind of thing. And that was because we were vacationing in upstate New York. We were, my parents go to this lake house every year and they invited us. So we went up and there was a full wall chalkboard, like, you know, floor to ceiling chalkboard. And we were actually out at the campfire, I think, if I recall correctly. And I went inside and I just like grabbed the chalk and I started doodling and I drew this big pedal first try. I just drew this one, like I just drew a giant pedal that was like probably 6 feet tall, 7 feet tall, a little taller than me. And, wrote Loaf and designed the whole look, like, just like, I don't even know where it came from. It just hit me and I made it. And then I went and got Karen and I was like, this is it. This is what the pedal is going to be. But we didn't even have a sound. We obviously didn't have a circuit. I didn't know, you know, I just was like, it's going to be a fuzz. It's going to be called the Loaf. And this is what it's going to look like. And so,
love it.
That was that, like, you know,
that's very, and that, like, that makes it so much greater.
Yep.
Like, I've seen that, the Loaf in particular, I've seen a lot of boards, like a lot of boards. I see that thing on Instagram very regularly.
well, the thing is that we kind of trick it. Well, we're not tricking anyone. It's not a trick. It's just that because our pedals have big letters, you can't help but see them, right? Like you probably see more boards without them than boards with them. But every time you see one on a board, you see it.
Yeah.
You see that pedal. Like it's because it's like, oh yeah, the big one that said Frank, like I, you know, and we did a guitar show in Brooklyn and Analog Man was there and he's like, oh, you're the guy that makes pedals for old people. And I didn't get it at first. And then I thought about it. I was like, oh yeah.
From the weight of Mike.
That is fantastic.
yeah. So yeah, but like I didn't know how to make pedals at first. I knew how to like fix, you know, small things and like make guitar cables in the beginning. That's all I ever had done, my experience with electronics. And I started trying to learn and then I was like, oh, this is going to take way too long to get good. And I want to be selling, you know, pedals that I think that are good right now and not go through that stage of, you know, your first couple hundred are kind of garbage until, or maybe even 100, whatever, you know. Every pedal company that's out there that is, you know, doing well, other than, you know, I'm sure not Boss, but like, you know what I mean? Like the boutique builders that have become household names, when you find their first 50, 100 pedals, they're not as pretty as their new ones. You know what I mean? Mm. And I didn't want that. And so as it turns out, I got that because I was like, I'll hire out and I'll, you know, we hired a shop to build our pedals. As it turns out, and I learned later, I should have done a better job of hiring my first shop, but, you know, we learned, we got better, we grew, and all of our stuff now is like, rock solid, whatever, like quote bulletproof, you know, like whatever. Like, I feel like you could throw our pedals off a roof and they'll be fine. The enclosure might break probably before anything else, but yeah, in the beginning, unfortunately, like I said, our first 1500, whatever, also are fit that bill. But, then we ultimately moved to a second shop. So I had a guy named, Chuck Bennett in California. He has a pedal company called Chuck Pedals, and he did, contract manufacturing for us for like a little over 2 years. And then ultimately I moved everything. When we moved to Tennessee, it became a reality. And by then I'd been learning and I had the space, for a shop. Whereas in New York, that just wasn't really, it would have just been chaos. And so we moved down here, built a little shop. I mean, still in the house, you know, we work out of our home, but, I have a lot of space now for Big Gear. And we moved everything in house, and that's been about 2 years now since I have been the sole builder. So that's the long and short of it, I guess.
That's really, I gotta say, it's refreshing to hear somebody just right out and say, you contracted your designs, you contracted to get people building your pedals, and you didn't design them yourself and that kind of thing. Like, it, a lot of people would
maybe skirt that.
Maybe be self-conscious about that, yeah. Or, you know, not as honest, or make up a fun story.
I had a lot to do with like how they sounded, you know what I mean? I was very, very picky, I guess. But I wasn't doing, you know, the actual circuit design, nor the building, you know, the assembly of the pedals. But that's, you know, again, there's a lot of other jobs. There's a lot of other things to do. In you know, a pedal company, having
still,
a pedal company,
you're still building a brand, you're still building an enterprise. It's not like it's easy street, right?
And that's the stuff that I love to do. I love like the brand side of things. I love marketing. I love selling things. You know, but I also love playing guitar and I love pedals, and it's kind of like I've mixed all those worlds together. You know,
I think it's awesome, man. I think it's really cool. So. You started with the Loaf, and I got to say, you have a lot of colorfully named pedals. Some I like that you name a lot of them after pets.
Yeah, pets and graffiti artists so far has been the trend.
And Betty White.
Yeah.
Love that.
Which, by the way, is the best. The more tributes to that wonderful woman, the better.
I agree.
So what?
She's rad. I follow her on Instagram. I know it's probably not her making the posts, but still got to show some love.
I gotta admit, after having said that, the more praise for Betty White, the better. I didn't know she was on Instagram.
Oh yeah.
Well, excuse me.
I'm just gonna go take a second here.
Now you know. Now you know what you have to do as soon as we're done recording here. Go follow.
I think he's probably just gonna do it while
I'm gonna do it
talking.
While we're on the air. Yep. Yeah, I'm not the greatest multitasker, but I can handle that one.
Yeah, I think it's honestly, I think it's at Betty M. White. I think that's what her username is.
We're gonna.
Am I right? Am I wrong?
You're 100% right, Betty M. White.
Bam.
1.6 million followers. Holy smokes! She's she's holding a tiny piglet.
Oh yeah. That I love pigs. That's a great photo. I follow some other pigs on Instagram as well. In fact, one of my favorite Instagram accounts is Pigs Are Awesome with the vowels missing, because it just makes me happy. And there's a lot of Instagram not a lot, but there's, you know, you see stuff if you follow people that aren't all guitar pedal companies, that sometimes things can bum you out, or just sad things, or whatever. But Pigs Are Awesome is always fun. It is always happy. It is always stress-free. It is always just cute little piglets. And they're never even big pigs. They're never adult pigs. They're just little baby pigs. And it is the sweetest thing. So I'm sorry I'm rambling, but like, no. I just love the little pig. So yeah, Betty White with a pig. Oh man.
That's a win for the species right there. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just nothing but joy.
So I want to, I've selfishly enjoyed following you for quite some time. And then you made what I would consider to be kind of a fantasy pedal for me in the album. And like, where did you come up with the concept, man? And how did you and our buddy Neil get connected on that? Because you worked with Neil Graham on that one, and that's awesome. Neil's the best.
Yeah, Neil's been just amazing. So the pedal actually started because a friend of mine, we were at NAMM, Summer NAMM, 3 years ago, I think, because it took 2 years. So yeah, 3 years ago. My buddy's Joe McCaffrey, by the way. He was in a band called Nightmare of You, or is in a band. I guess they're still a band. They just, you know, kind of hiatus situation thing. They don't play anymore, but they just had a, I think 20-year anniversary or something like that, 20-year reunion or something like that. But anyway, he uses a lot of pedals to kind of, like, his favorite guitar player is Johnny Marr, right? So like, he uses a lot of pedals. One of his favorite guitar players, I'm sure he has several, but, I know that's one of his tops, and he wanted something that would kind of give him that vibe where he just turns on one pedal instead of having, because he uses, you know, a compressor, a chorus, a delay pedal, a reverb pedal, and all these, you know, and then with changes, he has to turn off four pedals, you know, to then turn on a fuzz pedal or something, you know? And, he just wanted a pedal with one setting, no knobs, just you turn the pedal on and it's that instant, you know, new wave sound. And I thought about it. I was like, that sounds kind of ridiculous. And then but I liked it still. I was like, but that actually is kind of fun, you know? And like, cause you don't have a lot of pedals that are kind of combo that have, you know, several things stacked at once. And then I thought, well, okay, what if we, oh no, he said he wanted to have one knob and it was a volume knob and that would just blend in the effect. And so, and honestly, I tried to think, looking at it, but this is also another thing for me. Again, I said everything's like starts visually or whatever. I started sketching how would this pedal look with one knob, one foot switch, and one LED. And I didn't like the centered LED because I couldn't figure out where to put it to make it look where it just looked good. Like it just looked funny if the knob at the top, the LED underneath it, and the foot switch, and or the LED near the foot switch. And it just didn't look good with the rest of our pedals. It didn't make sense. And so I thought, what if we added a second knob? And, you know, gave it eight different settings. So instead of just one sound, kind of trying to like nail this, like one guitar player's kind of vibe, what if we just had eight sounds that, you know, encompass the whole genre, like the entire decade of the 80s, the good 80s. And so we have eight different. So ultimately we made a pedal with eight different stacks of effects. So it's chains of effects. So it's, you know, you know, one setting might be like I mentioned, the compressor into the chorus, into a slapback, into a reverb, all on one, you know, blend knob. You just blend that into your clean tone. So that was, you know, the concept was there, and then I just didn't really know how to do it because it was going to have to be digital, and I reached out to a few people, and one of those people that I reached out to was Ryan from Dr. Scientist. And he said he wasn't able to do it. He wouldn't have the time or whatever, but he said, let me talk to Neil. And then he hit me back and said that that Neil said to hit him up because he was down. He was able to help out. So, talked to Neil. He's like, yeah, I got this. and we went back and forth. And so the way we actually programmed, the way we made the effects, there's a blog post on our website and it's a long story. I'll try to make it as concise as I can, but because you can't control any of the parameters of any of the effects in the chains of effects, you only have a blend knob, you know, you have an eight-way selector and then you have a blend knob, so you can't control anything else. And because of that, I wanted it to work with as many players as possible. So we actually made the chains, you know, in like in the real world, like not digitally, but like with actual effects. So I had to buy a bunch of vintage, you know, flangers and phasers and chorus pedals. And I borrowed some stuff too. And then I had a bunch of stuff already, but reverbs and delays and compression and just built these pedal chains and then ran them through a blend looper. So you could just blend it in and out of your clean tone. And so I then tested with two groups of 10 players. The first group of 10, and we had people, everyone from singer-songwriters to like bedroom players to producers, you know, recording engineers, to like literal like rock stars that tour in arenas. So we had, you know, a mix of everybody just to kind of get, like I said, every player. I wanted to get, you know, as many opinions as possible from people that would use it in very different manners. So the first test was just to see if in these settings, I set the patches up, I set the knobs where they were all going to be, and then gave everybody a thumbs up. You know, you can give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And if they gave me a thumbs up, then they moved to the next setting. And if they gave me a thumbs down, then they were allowed to put the knobs where they thought it should be fitting within, you know, trying to make a new wave sound, but how would they make it? And then I documented how everybody changed it, which wasn't a lot of people. But if a couple people made the same exact change, then that was, I'm going to change it. You know, if like multiple people say the rate's just too fast, then I'm wrong. The rate's too fast, you know?
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. So, because that's how I am in a lot of ways. Like if I like something, cool. But if like three people like something, even better, you know, because that means that it's probably good. You know, if three different people that all believe different things all like this, you know, central thing or whatever, then yeah. So the next round was to, what we actually had to do was record, you know, do detailed recordings for Neil and sent everything up to him because he's in Canada and we're here. So yeah, we had to send him
about an hour and a half or 2 hours away from us.
Oh, nice, nice. So he had to, so obviously he wasn't able to like play this stuff in real life. So we had to take recordings of all of the effects, like a loop of a guitar playing clean. And then that same loop playing through every single effect and then stacking every single effect and then send him every single variation of those recordings. So he could then, and as well as video, so he could see where the effects were set generally. And then he had to replicate those chains of effects digitally using those audio recordings as reference samples to match. Listen,
I just want to say, Neil is a brilliant, brilliant guy. And if this isn't a testament to that, he's fantastic. He's been a huge, huge help to me too in all my learning endeavors too. So I know from personal experience dealing with Neil that he is a fantastic guy and always helpful.
Same here with me. He's been super helpful because I didn't understand because we've never done a pedal like this. And so there were so many questions that I had. And even after the fact, even like when we're doing our first production run, I ran into some things and I'm hitting him up in the middle of the night, like, Neil, I don't know what to do. Help me.
I don't think he sleeps at night, actually.
It's always at like 5 a.m. that I get a reply. But I'm up too. So it's like, it's perfect. But he's been super helpful. The dude is a legend. Then he sent us, you know, the EEPROM chips for the programs
like a couple days later.
Yeah, like not soon after, but or not long after, but the cool thing was I was able to put them in my BitQuest pedal because the BitQuest has, you know, I think what, six knobs, mm-hmm. something, whatever, and this has two of the knobs. One is like a blend and one is the selector. So he said, if you just set, you know, the tone knob in the middle and tape all the other knobs at off or whatever, basically you can make your BitQuest a controller for the Albee. So
of course he would do that.
Of course he would.
That.
So, oh my gosh, yeah. Dude. So we literally, I was testing and the next round of 10 people were testing on a BitQuest that was all covered in tape because none of the knobs were active except for the 8-way selector and the blend knob. And so we tested with 10 people and they gave me their, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down, and then their overall critiques, because now they can't change settings because it's all within the pedal, but they could tell me their critiques, you know, how in a perfect world, what would they change to make it work for them? Mm-hmm. And then we did one round of tweaks. I tweaked a couple extra things, on the last round. And then I think I just left a doctor's appointment and I got this idea. And I was like, what if we had a momentary foot switch? We've never done anything like this. But if we add a second feature so that when you hold the foot switch down, it like adds another element to the effects chain. It either adjusts some parameters of some of the effects or it adds a whole new effect or whatever. And I asked Neil and I said, this would be funny, but like, do you want to decide what those sound like? So you can take, like, when the whole foot switch is held down, we call it Neil mode because it's his, you know, his tweak. Neil adjusted the chain of effects and made them the Neil modes. So those are his take on the sounds. And then we took it a step further. And if you actually, when you're powering up the pedal, if you hold the foot switch down, when you like turn your board on, or if you just unplug the DC jack and plug it in, the LEDs will do a little dance and then you unplug it. And now you can latch into the secondary Neil mode. So it's not just momentary. You can use the foot switch to latch into the secondary setting. So that's the ultra Neil mode. So we've got Neil mode and ultra Neil mode.
Oh my God. That is not surprising. It is very genius level stuff from Neil. And yeah, it is also not surprising. I mean, getting to know Neil and Ryan at Dr. Scientist was like a revelation for like how awesome pure nerds can be.
Yeah.
They're one of my favorite. They're some of my favorite people in the pedal world, and I've never met either one of them. Oh, I just like them. They just have good vibes. You know what I mean? Like, I just like them.
They're amazing. And I truly, 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 you need to take a vacation up here one day just to hang out with them because they're just that good. They're so good.
We got super, super fortunate on our very first ever interview was with them at their lab in.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, it was just like mind blowing.
Yeah, it was like.
Ryan also just seems like a really, like, he's just a super positive and encouraging person.
He is.
And he is, definitely. Yeah,
like, kindness were given form. It was Ryan. Like, such great guys. And I can't say enough good things about them. Neither of us can. They're just too awesome. So I hope you get to hang out with them in person one day. They live up to it.
Yeah, definitely.
So that was the Neil connection. That was how Neil came about. And I think that answers your whole question as far as the how we came up with it and then how we connected with Neil.
Totally. I guess. Yeah, no, that's amazing. Yeah.
That's actually a really great story. I don't think I've ever heard of another brand or another anybody else putting together focus groups to develop something like this. And rightly so. I mean, if you're stacking the, you know, three and four effects in one type of, you know, one mode select, and you do eight of them, man, like, just having myself and Al play through one pedal, we don't play the same. We don't sound the same. Like, nothing is the same, even if the knobs don't change. You know, like, it's just a completely different. So that's a brilliant idea, is to have a bunch of people, you know, this is what you're going for. This is your goal. And to have it.
It's a big commitment, too, because you know when you get that many people together to do, literally to sit down and just kind of give critiques and judgment on something you're making, you're going to get so much information.
And,
you know, that's a lot to sift through and it's a lot to manage.
Yeah.
It can be. It wasn't terrible. And in fact, I felt kind of good about the whole process because the sounds that I had kind of initially dialed in that I was like, okay, this is how this would sound. And in fact, something I've never said to anyone, I won't tell you what guitar players, but I might have referenced them at some point in some talk somewhere to somebody. I did a lot of internet picture stalking, research of Google Images to find as detailed and close-up photos of certain guitar players' rigs that I could. So I could kind of, that's how I decided which pedals to even get to, like, you know, like, oh, this player uses this pedal and this pedal and this pedal. And, oh, look at that. there's tape on all the pedals and it shows where their knob settings are. So now I know roughly where to start to get that kind of vibe. Mm. So,
hey, you won't share that information.
That is some deep dive, man.
But, well, it's just, you know, there's only like three or four main, you know, guitar players from that era that people talk about.
I got to take a guess, like Robert Smith's got to be on the list.
Definitely is probably, you know, I mean, he used a flanger and that's, there's definitely a setting that has flanger in the Albi, probably. I've never told anyone what actual pedals are in any of the chains, and people ask, and I'm like, I don't know. Just listen to it. Like, it doesn't matter because that's the thing is it doesn't matter.
No,
you can't change it. You can't reroute things. You're going to just plug it in and play. And if it vibes with you, you like it. It makes you write music. And that's the point of the pedal, is quite literally to plug in and make music, because it removes all that other nonsense. You just dial it up to where you vibe with it and you go, yeah. And then you write something you would have never written before and everyone wins.
Brilliant.
It is definitely one of those few pedals. There's a few pedals that I think would be, you know, cool to play. Well, there's a lot of pedals I think would be cool to play. I'm really wording this poorly. but there's a few pedals that just happens throughout the year where you click on a video or you see on Instagram or something like that, and you just instantly like, oh, that's, I'm going to have to buy one of those. some pedals, they just grab you instantly, and you know you're not going to be disappointed by them. For like, one of them for me was the Atmosphere with Dr. Scientist.
I was going to say that,
how
too.
I met Ryan and Neil and how we ended up interviewing them was just like, I had to have that pedal. And then finding out they lived an hour and a bit away was like, oh, I have to meet these guys.
Yeah.
That thing is so good.
Oh, right. Oh my gosh, that pedal is ridiculous. I don't think I shuck any pedal harder on people who have never heard of it than that pedal.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, it's ridiculous to me that so few people in the world are playing that pedal. And they're doing okay with that pedal. I'm not saying they're not selling it. Just it's mind-blowing to me that thing isn't outselling like Blue Skies by Strymon, which is also a great pedal. I'm not saying, you know.
Yeah,
not to hack on the Strymon or anything. Just it's the Atmosphere is so dang good,
and the look of the Atmosphere is so cool with the two colors of powder coat. Mm-hmm, the blend from the light blue to the dark blue, that is so cool.
And just like the everything about it, the screen, the resolution knob, like that pedal is just, you cannot stress enough how much is in that pedal. But anyway. Another one of those pedals where just like I was, you know, when it first came across my field of vision, and it was on Instagram when you posted about it, was the Albi for me. And it was just one of those pedals where it's like, all right, well, I'm going to be buying that one as soon as I can. And I don't, you know, sure, okay. There's an appeal to the fact that I can tape off a few letters and have a pedal that says Al on it. It's...
You're such a Muppet. Oh my God.
But it just sounds so good, man. That's why I want it, is the sounds. Yeah. But it's, you know, it does say Al. I keep telling you, Casper, all good things have a little Al in them.
Yeah, I heard. You know what, man? It's talking about the aesthetic and that it says Al on it. I really dig the simplistic way you display your pedals. Like you don't have a bunch of crazy flash, you don't have a bunch of wild stuff on them. Very simplistic, very elegant, really, really straightforward. I really like that, like, you know, pedals for old people look. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you. I appreciate it.
It makes a lot of sense, because part of, you know, the whole thing where you're going to make something, you want to make it, you know, what direction do you go? You want to, you know, do you want to tell a story with it? You want to make, you know, artwork? Because we know plenty of builders that go that route. They make these, like, you know, really, really wild, elaborate artwork, and they all look fantastic. And this is the complete opposite end of looking fantastic. It's just clean and smooth, and it's so great. What made you decide to, because, I mean, with some of the names, like, you know, for example, like the Woodcutter, and just let me scroll here a little more. You've got, you know, the Loaf. I mean, obviously you could have gone a whole different route with the artwork. But what made you choose that and not going a little more elaborate on the art?
Well, like I said, when I'll have to send you guys a picture that I know you guys post stuff on your Instagram, then you could potentially use this photo of me beside the original chalkboard drawing of the loaf. But I don't know what made me decide it. I just wrote, the name hit me because we have, at the time we had one bunny. Now we have two bunnies. And our first bunny, her name is Pam. Her name is Pamela. And she is the first animal that I've ever had that did this, because I never had a cat, and I know cats do it as well. But bunnies do this thing called loafing. They loaf up. They sit on their legs, and they look like a little ball, like a little loaf of bread. And so we just would call her our little loaf. And I just thought loaf. That's a really good name for a fuzz pedal, loaf. Like, that just sounds...
It's oddly perfect, actually.
Yeah, it's like fuzzy and it's all these things. And then actually, originally the loaf, I wanted to make a bass fuzz, but then it just sounded so good on guitar too. I was like, no, it's just an all around everything fuzz. And, but it definitely has a lot of low end. It's very fat, very woolly. But yeah, so loaf was just, the name hit me, and I was like, loaf, that's a great name for a fuzz. And then I went in and I just started drawing on the chalkboard, and I drew it, and I wrote Bigger NYC underneath the foot switch. And then I just wrote loaf in big stretched out kind of tall, skinny letters. And then I was like, that's it. That's the look. That's everything. You know, that's the whole thing. And I don't know where it came from. I don't know why it happened. Some of the best things I've ever come up with came out of absolutely nowhere. And I don't know what that is. And then also some of the worst things I've ever come up with came out of nowhere. So, but at least in this instance, sorry, I was getting a phone call. I'm not sure if that just cut me off. But in this instance, this one worked out. So,
yeah, well, you stuck with it. You're running with it, and
it's so easy. Yeah. It's so easy when we have a new pedal design. Well, okay, it's easy, but it's also not easy, and I'll tell you why. It's easy once we have a name to do a new pedal, or to know if it's going to work. As soon as we have the name, because everything else stays basically, you know, the same, the foot switch on our standard three knob style pedals, foot switch is in the same spot, LEDs in the same spot, three knobs are in the same spot, bigger pedals is in the same spot. And all we change is the word, right? And so it's so easy to design a whole new pedal, or at least just determine if it's going to work. Sometimes you have a name and you put it in the font, and it's actually an altered font. It's like stretched, and then we like change some of the lines to make everything. You wouldn't notice, but like if you look at loaf, like the A and the F, like the line that goes through is actually on the same, you know, vertical spacing and stuff like that. So sometimes a name just doesn't look good. Sometimes a name just doesn't look right. A letter doesn't look next to another letter, and that will throw the whole thing off for me. And I'll be like, we got to change the name. We got to come up with a new name. And then other times, you know, like with Albie, and we had tried some other names for that first. And then Albie was actually our cat. He just passed away, a few months before the pedal came out. So we named the pedal for him. It ended up being a tribute pedal. And in fact, every pedal comes with a picture of him inside of it. But
that's awesome.
It's just a little piece of, everyone has a little piece of Cat Albert. His name was Cat Albert, and he was the sweetest little man. And I've never loved a cat before. He was the first cat I ever loved. I was afraid of cats my whole life, and then this little stray cat started showing up at our old house where we moved to Madison, Tennessee, from New York, and we just moved into Madison, and the stray cat started showing up. And he kind of adopted us or whatever. And so then, yeah, we named the pedal after him. And whenever we came up with the name Albie, and we went and typed it in and, you know, made the whole thing, we're like, that looks really good. So, and that pedal also has like 8 LEDs on it. So it's a little different looking than our other pedals. It only has 2 knobs. And so it's a little different. So we did slide the LED up, I think, or down actually. But regardless, still having the look like that makes it so easy to design pedals. And I have friends that are pedal makers that have had pedals for months, but they have not released them, or it took them months to get, well, they were done and it took them months to get it released because of artwork. because they had to, they couldn't come up with a name or artwork that made sense. And for us, it's just like, we start from a graphic. So it's like, you know, it's ready to rock. And yeah, we had the name Albie and everything and the look of the pedal before we had, before Neil was even working on it. So
fantastic.
You gotta be the only pedal company doing it that way.
I think so. A lot of people, the art isn't the afterthought, it seems, to a lot of people. And you can tell sometimes too, because things aren't like, things don't always make sense, or like they're not in the place where, like, they just put things out on the circuit. Like the pots don't, like they could have moved them up and now the pots are really close to the foot switch, or all kinds of things. I see art that as it goes underneath hardware, because they didn't consider the hardware when they made the art. And this is only, you know, every now and again, you see this, you'll notice this, but like where like the foot switch washer goes over the brand name or something like that. Mm. I'm like, you know, like I, it drives me wild, 'cause I'm so like, the visual is so important to me. I'm just really, really, really hypercritical of that stuff. So for us, that's where it starts, from the look. 'Cause it has to look good, because, you know, I mean, sound, it has to sound good, but sound is subjective. People visually, like, you know, like what you're saying, some pedal companies have like really, you know, elaborate graphics or art or whatever, different things. But it's kind of like, if you buy art for somebody, like as a gift, what's the chance that person's actually going to like that art and hang it up on their wall in their house? Like, you know what I mean? It's probably not as likely, because not everybody we don't all like the same art. So if you're committing to a art style, like there might be certain people that will just never buy your products just because of how it looks. And if you have a very simple thing like what we have, maybe it opens you up to a wider market. But at the end of the day, if it's clean and it looks nice and it's pretty, people are going to take that Instagram picture and share it and say, this is my new favorite pedal. And they haven't even plugged it in yet, but they love it. It's because it feels good to, like, it's like when you get an iPhone and you open an iPhone box or something, not comparing our pedal to iPhones, but just good looking pedals in general. And I have lots of them from several, you know, the 1981 Inventions ZRV, for example. People get that. It feels special. It's so clean and so nice.
Well, while you were talking, I was definitely thinking of that one, because it's
one of those things.
Almost 2 years in a row now, it's been like the most popular Instagram darling pedal out there. It's
a very attractive pedal, and people. I mean, it also is a great pedal too. I have on my main board. I have one of the first six protos or something. And it's actually, I have a regular edition one, but I use the proto, which might sound silly, but he changed things after that. And this particular proto that I have has a little more low end. It's got like less gain, but it also has a little more low end because of that. And so I use that one, 'cause I play bass primarily when I'm jamming. It's with Karen. She's been playing, I've been teaching her to play drums. So I play bass. And on that proto one just sounds better. And so that's the one that's been on my board. And so I love it. I'm also good buddies with Matt, but I legit love that pedal. It looks, it's beautiful. It sounds beautiful. It's a wonderful pedal. And I love rat circuits in general. So it's, which it is different, you know, but it's in the ballpark.
It's in the family. It's, you know,
yeah. And I love,